You're listening to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast with Tommy Kalonen, a proud member of the Dunham Audio Network.
Welcome to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Kalonen. Hey guys, welcome to episode 23 of the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast. So glad you guys are jumping in with us today. We got a great episode. Got a guy that I could say as a pastor, like I'm proud of this guy. And I met him several years ago and kind of have watched him grow as an artist, as a man of God, as someone that's very involved at his local church. And so for me as a pastor, man, that excites me to see an artist that's still involved and plugged in at his local church. This guy's also going to be at FlavorFest 2021. And hey, if you haven't heard about it, I don't know where you've been at. Maybe you're just tuning in and jumping in, and that's cool. We got people that are listening to this podcast from all over the United States. We got people from Canada listening. We got people from Puerto Rico listening, people from Germany, people from Australia. We got more and more people jumping in from all over the place. So shout out to all you guys that are checking it out. So maybe you are new and you don't know what FlavorFest is. It is an urban leadership conference that we've been doing now for over two decades. Yeah, there's been over 5,000 leaders that have come to the conference and been trained collectively over that period of time. And so guess what, guys? It's back this year. Last year, we didn't do it. Because of the pandemic, and we know the pandemic's not over yet. We thought it was, right? We were almost there. We were so close. But, you know, we're going to do it in a way that is safe, spaced, sanitized, and super dope. It's still going down. October 7th through the 10th at Crossover Church in Tampa, Florida. People are already registered that are coming from all over the place. So you definitely want to be here. Don't miss it. We're going to have general sessions. We're going to have workshops. I think like seven workshop tracks that we're going to break out into. So if you're an artist, if you're a church planter, if you're a pastor, if you're in youth ministry, we're going to have, if you're an entrepreneur, so we're going to have all kinds of different workshop tracks. It's going to be phenomenal. If you want to see the details, go over to flavorfest.org and you can see who some of the main speakers are, what the workshop track list is. You can also see who the artists are because it's a festival in the evening, Friday and Saturday night, the 8th and 9th. We have some of the top names in CHH, Christian hip hop, are going to be taking the stage. We also have a second stage with poetry on Friday night. Saturday night, we have a big breakdancing event. There's going to be this big thing called the Battle of the Elements. It's going to be crazy, y'all. So go to flavorfest.org, get all the details. And so the guy that we're talking to today on episode 23, he's going to be hitting the stage at FlavorFest as well. And I remember when he used to come and just attend as just, you know, somebody that was coming to learn, and he's still coming to learn. But now he's going to be hitting the stage and he's leading. And so we're super proud of him. So I'm talking about none other than my guy, Stephen Malcolm. Let's go to the interview. FlavorFest family, what's going on? I'm here with my guy, Stephen Malcolm, and he's actually in the studio up in Nashville.
Gang.
He's going to tell us in a minute what he's working on. But man, I want you to share a little bit of your story and kind of how you first came to Christ and just, you know, some of the story, how you got discipled at the Edge Church. Mm-hmm. And that's my guy up there, Pastor Troy. And we've been friends for a long time. I got to come up and visit the Edge and was just amazed. You guys have an amazing community. And I know, bro, you regularly shout out the church and talk about it in interviews and in your music. And I know it's a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. So, man, share a little bit about how you got connected.
Yeah, man. So in 2010, I had just graduated high school, was going into college. And at that point in any young man's life, you're in a search for purpose and identity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And me, I didn't grow up with my dad. He got busted for drugs and deported back to Jamaica when I was 9. And then my mom really struggled with alcoholism, like, all my childhood. So it was one of the things where, like, you know, I had to really raise myself type thing, you know what I mean? And gravitated towards basketball. I had a really good gift, man. So 2010 comes, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm about to start balling in college and try to do my thing. And just, nah, man, like it was like calamity hit. My mom moved like out of state. My sister was stripping and doing coke all night and just bringing home dudes all the time. And so like I would go to this little house with all my homies and we would just record music and play video games and do our thing. And in the midst of literally like a month, bro, like I would run into like people who I knew from high school, whether it was my homie or like a girl that I'm trying to like holler at. And I'm like, yo, like, you know, what you want or something. They would tell me about this hip hop church. And like, I didn't grow up in church. I was not interested ever in going to church and being a Christian, bro. It was just a thing of like, yo, everybody keeps saying this hip hop church. It's like a new club opened up somewhere and everybody's like, you got to check out clubs.
You got to come to the edge. Like, come to the edge.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Yo, imagine like, church was never a thing in my life, but everybody keep on talking about this hip hop church. And so literally like one day I was bored. I went there and it changed my life, bro. After like a year of just, you know, getting rooted in my faith and really wanting to know who Christ is and really walk with him. I let the pastor know, man, what's next? And he was just like, man, it's time to get up off your butt and serve God's people, serve the church. And he knew I had a talent in rapping. You know, I was just jumping the ciphers here and there, you know what I mean? And stepped on stage, man, to lead worship at the church, just to serve God and serve his people. And it was a feeling that I couldn't not do again. It was such a contagious, such an addictive thing to be on stage and to use your words to impact people and to touch their soul and to connect them with God. It was something that I just was like, yo, this is it. This is my purpose. This is what I need to be doing. And so I surrendered, man. And I hit up Troy. I literally DM'd him and was like, hey, man, I want to start walking with the Lord for real, for real. Let's, you know, really do this thing, man. And so we would meet, me and the pastor, Pastor Troy, like, especially when I first started coming to the church, man, we would meet like once a week for breakfast, coffee. And, you know, he would just give me the tools, you know what I mean? Give me the tools and walk with me. Mm-hmm. And he seen that I was serious. He calls it being fat, faithful, available, and teachable. And, yeah, man, I stayed fat, man. And I just always came back. Like, and it was a thing of I was going back by myself. And, yeah, man, just the feeling of being on stage leading worship was crazy. And I remember clear as day, I used to work at Nordstrom. And, the shoe department, and I was just like, man, like I think the Lord is telling me to do this as a career, like the music thing, man. I really feel pushed to really like pursue it as a career instead of just rehearsal on Wednesdays and leading worship on Saturdays. And so yeah, I prayed, man. I on my knees, like not like, you know, I'm just chilling praying, like I got on my knees, man, in my room, and I was like, God, if this is my calling for real, because I feel like, you know, you see a lot of the guys I'm called to rap and they're like, they're not good. You know what I mean? I really believe in you. You have to see fruit, man. There's gotta be some type of like fruit that you gotta be seeing, man. And I was seeing a lot of fruit and getting a lot of confirmation from people that like, yo, this, you're in your element, you know, when you're leading worship. And so yeah, I prayed, man, on my knees. And it was the only time in my life I tell people this, that, you know, people like, I heard God. God told me, you know. It's the only time in my life where I felt a still voice say, it's not you doing it. I'm just using you as a tool. This is me. Wow. Now go.
So what year was that you started to lead worship at the Edge?
2011.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that was pretty quick. Like within the first year or so, you getting plugged in. Yeah. So I was, man, a decade ago. So that's where it started, you leading worship. So now for everybody out there that's checking this out, when you say leading worship, so were you singing and rapping or just rapping?
Nah.
Or
just rapping, man, just rap. We would do like Lecrae covers, like, okay. Man, I used to love to do Hallelujah, Don't Waste Your Life.
Yeah.
And then that's how I learned how to fast rap, because I had to do one of like KB songs, man. Gosh, I want to say it was like Uno Uno Seis or something like that. I don't know. He has a fast verse on something, or maybe it was Saints. Yeah, Saints.
Yeah, I had to Saints learn go marching Saints in. By yeah, Eddie yeah. Mideo.
And I had to learn KD's verse. And I was on the city bus. Yeah, man. And that's how I learned how to double time, is learn his verse to lead worship. So, yeah, we would do covers of Christian hip-hop artists, or we would write our own songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all rapping. And then we had, like, a couple singers here, and you know, that would do the contemporary or the gospel stuff. And then they would give us the background vocals when we needed them.
Dope. So who was some of the other MCs that were coming up with you back then, man?
Man, a lot, man. So there was me, Mark, my DJ, like, he would rap. And he can't
Mark the dancer, too, right?
Yeah, the dancer, bro.
He's got a ton of energy.
If somebody didn't know a verse, Mark would be like, all right, let's get it. I'll do it. And so he would do it. My boy B-Co, shout out to B-Co. He's a producer, rapper. He would make all the production. Like, even if we had to remake one of Andy's beats, he would do it and rap. He had bars like crazy. Beacon Light, which you know Beacon Light.
Yeah, Beacon is dope.
Him. Man, and then now we got a whole slew of cats, but we're like the first, like, originals, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have always had, like, a great artist community at your church, which you know, I travel a lot to speak at different churches and do ministry, and you know, like, you guys probably had one of the most developed, you know, we have a lot of artists at Crossover, but to go to other churches and find that there might be like one or two rappers, but you guys had like a whole squad. And, you know, you guys, I think the big part was Pastor Troy was giving you guys a platform during the regular church services. So, you know, a lot of churches would be like, yeah, well, we have Youth Sunday, and then the guys rap, or they rap in the youth group. But you guys were rapping, like, every time there was church. I know it was Saturday for a while, but it was a regular part of worship. Like, at Crossover, you can regularly see an MC in worship. Not every single Sunday, but most Sundays. There's a couple different artists that we have that'll, you know, do, like, a section of a song on some of the faster songs. So that's dope, man. And just to see the camaraderie. I remember when I first went to the Edge, I think it was maybe about 5 years ago, and got to see the studio down in the basement, and just hear, you know, how Pastor Troy was very intentional in pouring into you guys. And then you guys even had like a collective or a label. So talk about that a little bit, and like where that's at, and who's like popping right now from the Edge Church, and what's happening in Grand Rapids.
So, man, it was like, I feel like it was 2000 and maybe 13. And it was me, Beacon Light, B-Co, and a couple other guys. And we were doing our thing, but we wanted to make something where we can pour back into. Like, we're making this money at the shows. You know, let's have something, an entity where we can pour back into, and then that entity can invest back into us as artists.
Mm.
And so that's where we came up with IMG, Infinity Music Group. Shout out to Beacon Light, man. He, you know what I'm saying, brainstormed it all up. And so, yeah, that's really, honestly, it just started off as like something where, you know, saying we can write a check to this, you know what I mean? And boom, from there, we would tie to the church and then invest in, you know, video or photo shoots and stuff. And then it just developed, man. As, like you said, the squad got bigger. Some young cats came in. And now, it's not like an official label, like, you know, sign and we, you know, own publishing. It's more so a group of brothers who go to the same church, who serve the same church, but also who rap. And so now, and it's a thing too of like a great like place of accountability.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're all, you know, fighting to live above approach and to keep each other accountable on that, and to just be this brotherhood of artists who are really walking this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it's really become now, is more so you know, this thing of us guys coming together at the church and doing music and mentoring each other, sharpening each other, keeping each other accountable on, you know what I'm saying, being an artist and being a man of God. And it's just a big brotherhood, man. And now, like, man, we, like, me and Mark all the time, like, Mark and Troy is always telling me to, like, really start an official, like, label.
Yeah.
Because we have so many young cats and so much talent, man. So, yeah, man, right now it's just like, you know, it's kind of a thing that's in the air, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you're from Grand Rapids, if you're from
thinking
the Edge,
about it, praying about it, see what God does. Back in the day, man, at Crossover, we had a collective of artists called Flavor Alliance. And it was just like that, very similar. It was a collective. Yep. We supported each other. It was accountability. And then eventually, you know, we did actually turn it into a label where we signed some people. We had a distribution deal. That was back when there was, you know, CDs in the stores.
Yeah.
I'll show you some up there on the wall. And but then eventually, like, that had its little season, and then we kind of just went back to, we want to support everybody, because then it almost turned into like a clique of like who was signed and who wasn't, and you know. Yeah. So then we were just like, man, we just want to support and help everybody, and you know, give everybody opportunities to have platforms. So if you do sign a label, start a label, still find a way to keep the other thing. That would be my advice, to keep it healthy.
Most definitely.
But what I would like you to share, man, with some of the people watching or listening, you know, we do have a lot of artists that tune into this podcast. Talk a little bit about the importance, man, of you being plugged in to a local church. Because I know that for many artists, that's a struggle. And now, granted, I know a lot of artists feel like they're not embraced. There's not a place for their gift, you know, at their at the church that they're plugged into or the church they've grown up at. I know for a church like yours and mine, we're maybe the anomalies, because so there is more of a support system. But talk about the importance, man, even outside of the music stuff, of just maybe some of the leadership lessons or the mentorship that you received that's helped you grow into the man and the artist and the entrepreneur that you are now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's just it brought, and still to this day brings, one, accountability in all aspects of life. Like, when I say accountability, I don't mean, you know, he's calling me to make sure I don't DM homegirl. You know what I mean? It's accountability of, you know what I'm saying, like, how's your finances? You know what I mean? Like, how's your relationship, you know, your marriage going on? How's your family and stuff like that? And so, yeah, man, to this day, like, I still have regular calls, you know what I'm saying? Like, with my pastor, we Zoom, me, him, and Mark, we go out for breakfast. Just elders at the church, man, for wisdom. It's having that community around, man, to just fellowship. And it keeps you sharp. I feel like as an artist, specifically as an artist, when there's artists listening, when you're in this industry, man, business, like, you turn into a shark. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so you have to keep your mind, you know, stand in your heart connected to the vine, man, especially when you're out here, you know, every day doing your thing. And you can't do that if you're not connected to the church. That's one thing Beacon Light always hammered to me. It's just like, bro, if you disconnect from the vine, how are you walking in the spirit?
That's good.
So, yeah, man, like, you know, I'm a real Christian, bro. I'm a real man of God. And I want to look and walk like Jesus every day. And so, yeah, man, I'm going to continue to eat at that table that feeds my spirit. You know what I mean? No matter how busy I get, man. To this day, the worship leader still hits me up like, man, are you free this Sunday to lead? So, yeah, man, it's so important, specifically to keep your mind and your heart sharp and stay connected to the vine, because if you out here, man, your mind going to start wandering.
That's good. So artists out there, man, take note of that. Take note of that. You got to be plugged in. You got to be grounded somewhere, because when you're on the road regularly and you're seeing all these people and they love your music, they want a selfie with you, they're like, you know, they're hitting you up on socials. But when you go to your church that Sunday, those people are not impressed with you, because they see you all the time. And that's a place where you can be held accountable, where you can be real, where you're not a superstar. And just like Steven said, to serve. Because listen, you heard what he just said. He said, the worship leader calls me and says, are you free this weekend? So even though now he's a national artist, he's traveling, he's touring, he hasn't been like, nah, don't do that no more. Like, when he's available, he'll still step in and be part of the worship team. And so you got to find ways that you as an artist can not only be grounded with accountability, but you're also still serving. There's something special about serving, because just like you just said, bro, you were talking about you can become a shark business-wise. And, you know, I know many artists that are like, well, I don't rap at my church anymore because this is what I do now for my job. Like, I get paid to go rap. Oh, well, my church wants me to rap. You know, well, I get paid to do this. So, you know, like, Like, nah, you can still use your gift at your church. Yeah, and man, I also want to challenge you to get outside of your gift too. So, you know, when Pastor Troy says, hey, Steven, like, can you move these chairs over here? I know your heart, bro. You're like, word, let's go. You know, but artists are like, nah, man, I don't move chairs anymore. You know, like one thing I love about KB, when KB was part of our church, even after he was signed, you know, which was when we first moved into this facility, you know, he was here on a work day, like sweeping the floors as a signed artist, you know, moving stuff, picking stuff up. He wasn't afraid to still get his hands dirty. And I know to this day, he's still like that, serving at his church as well. So, you know, artists out there, man, like, if you're humble, if you stay connected, you serve at your local church, like, man, it's gonna help keep you balanced, and God's gonna bless you in so many ways. So man, talk to us a little bit about the music, man, and what you've been up to lately. You're in the studio right now in Nashville as we're recording this. So what you working on, man? What can we expect soon? You coming to Flavor Fest this year, so you got some new stuff for us?
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. So I just dropped the EP, All Is True, man, produced by Track or Die Street Symphony. Woo! Crazy, man. The response has been crazy because I'm at a point now, and I know you know what I'm talking about because you're an artist, is I finally found, like, my why and my branding and, like, who I am and what I want to say as an artist, bro.
That's good,
and, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, I'm 4 years in being signed, and I've learned a lot, man. I observe a lot. And so with this EP, man, Street really helped me find my voice. And so now, man, once it was done, like, I'm like, I'm ready for another project. Let's go. So my third album literally is done. Like, my third album is done. I'm just waiting, obviously, for, like, the features. And that's the big thing with album three, man. I ain't talked about it with anybody yet so far, but it's my first project where I'm hitting all the homies up. You know, all the homies who you know what I'm saying, got their contact.
What's up, man? Can you tell us, like, friends, can you drop an exclusive here? Like, who's gonna be some of the features? Can you tell us any of them?
Oh man, KB on there. Come on, okay. I'll let you know right off rip, man.
Yeah, let's
go. The second on there. Finally, you know what I'm saying? Finally, and then man, I finally got one with the whole squad, IVAV. So me, Ty Brazel, and then our homie Jayway. And I was telling I'm trying to get Joseph to have them come to Flavor Fest so, like, we can, during my set, I'm gonna bring them out, like, introduce, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's ever seen IVAV together, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, I got the third album done. It's insanely good, and there's literally, like, no skips. And I got, like, tons of big wig features on there.
When do you, man, think that's going to be? When's it going to drop? You got a date yet?
So I was fighting for that mug to drop in December because I'm trying to just be consistent. Like, I'm really trying to teach these people at the label, like, yo, we're in a day and age where we got to be more consistent.
Yeah, we
can't just drop one album a year and go quiet. And so we was thinking about December, but, like, I kind of want to move it to January because my birthday's in January. Okay. So, yeah, man, I'm thinking top of the year, man. Drop on air, top some fire, bro, and keep it rolling.
Dope. So what's the title? You got the title all set up for it?
Man, I'm still trying to figure out a name, man. I thought about naming it Tree. Because Joseph's like, what is a slang word for the number three? So this is your third album. And I'm like, well, Jamaicans pronounce three like tree.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with that? Oh, okay.
Right. All right. And that's the thing. Like, yeah, I can take that and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can, like, you know, I can get creative with that name. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can tap into, like, you know, family tree, tree of life, my bloodline heritage, and, you know. Trees are firm, you know, like, they stand firm. It'd be cool and unique too, and yeah, it makes people like, huh, why did you name it Tree? So
yeah, yo, that's dope, man. So yo, tell us for a minute, man, a little bit about your Jamaican heritage. I know you said your dad got sent back.
Yeah, man.
So are you half Jamaican or full, or?
Yeah, half Jamaican, man. My pops, he's from Montego Bay, Jamaica. Met my mom, she's white, and they had me in 2 months. 2 months later. They had me, and yeah, man, he was just a, you know, regular working dude, immigrant in the country, but man, my mom just said he just got money hungry and just started slanging dope and guns all around Kalamazoo, and So yeah, they deported him back, man. We used to go too when I was a kid. I've been there twice when I was a kid, and then I went recently, like a few years ago, to shoot like two music videos, and it was beautiful, man. Like, it's crazy because the only way I've been able to tap into my like real like Jamaican roots is like calling my aunt, like visiting her, or yeah, when I went to Jamaica, you know what I mean? Like, I on purposely didn't stay in the tourist area. I was like, get me a spot in Montego Bay where my dad is from, and like in the country. So we was in like an Airbnb in the country, mm-hmm, and just going all throughout Kingston, just the real parts, man. I just was soaking up all the culture, all the heritage. I was trying to blend in, but apparently I don't blend in.
Yeah.
Rastaman, come here. Let me sell you something.
Yeah, man. Yeah, me and my wife, we went there for our 20-year anniversary. We went to Jamaica, stayed at one of those Sandals resorts, and it was dope, man. Yeah. So we also got to go out and really see some of the island and stuff. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful people, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's dope. I think you're one of the only CHH artists, man, that's got that Jamaican background. So that's cool, man. I love it.
Yeah, man. And that's why I started, like, putting it in the music. I was with Derek Minor, when I was working on my debut. And he was like, bro, you really Jamaican? I'm like, yeah. He's like, bro, you got to do some reggae records.
Yeah.
So if you go back and listen to a song of mine called Fire, it actually features Beam. I don't know if you're familiar with Tyshane, who Beam is.
I'm not sure.
Do you know Papa San?
Oh yeah, I know Papa San. He's an OG in the whole Caribbean movement.
So this is his son.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, yeah. I did meet him at an event that I did a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic. He came to Tampa, his son was with him, and yeah, it was dope. 1K Few was there. It was a very diverse lineup with all kinds of different people, like CHH and some Caribbean music, and it was dope.
I should have been there. Sounds like an event.
Yeah.
Dang. I'm always tapping in now and then with the record too. I actually just passed the record of Papa San yesterday, but he's like, it's not really my vibe. It's like super trap reggae.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's cool though, bro. That's good that you're tapping into that, bringing some of that diversity, some of that flavor to our scene. And so one thing that stands out about you, and you're known for this, bro, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were looking at the Flavor Fest lineup for 2021, and they were like, oh, man, you know, so we got, like, Brian T's coming. We got Dayton, Zonti just confirmed. Recently, he was sitting right here on this couch with me a couple weeks ago. He was here. He was visiting Tampa. And then we got KB, yourself. And so somebody was like, oh, man, like, I don't know who has the better live show, like KB or Stephen Malcolm, because both of those guys, like, you know, get those guys together, like, it's going to be crazy, you know. So, man, so I know you got Mark with you a lot of times, too, as, like, your hype man. And so, you know, what's just some of the things you worked on as an artist to get better at your stage presence, to get to the level you're at now that's, you know, you're known for, to have a really dope, engaging show?
Yeah. So my inspirations are Michael Jackson and Travis Scott. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Michael with the dancing and Travis with just the rage and the just insanity. And so with me, bro, like, man, I flip a switch, bro. Like, that's it. That's all I can say. I'm so chill off stage, bro. You seen me how I be, like, I'm chill.
Yeah, you
I'm
are, quiet. Man. Bro, I remember you would come to Flavor Fest with a big squad from The Edge for several years. And you were just chilling there. You know, you had your notebook, bro. You're taking notes in the crowd. And they're like, yeah, this guy raps. You know, he's on the worship team, right? And I'm like, cool, you know. And I think one year, I think you performed as like an indie artist. And so, but anyways, then the next thing we know, like, you know, you're getting signed. And you're still, I think the first year you were signed, you still came to Flavor Fest. Just to, like, to learn.
Yeah.
You weren't even performing that year because you had just got signed. You're like, nah, I'm just here to just learn, bro, and just fellowship and be with everybody. Yeah. And I was like, wow. So to me, that spoke volumes of, like, you know, your humility of, like, man, this guy's really plugged into his local church. He's really about growing and learning and like he doesn't have to be on the platform. He just wants to be here, and you know,
yeah, bro,
that just spoke, yeah. Bro.
Yeah. So when I'm on the stage, bro, I gotta flip a switch, bro, and that's my turn up time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I used to go to the clubs back in the day and party with all the females, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like now, what's my turn up? My turn up is my worship, bro. So yeah. That's where you're seeing like, oh, you know what I'm saying? That's me wilding. But like, honestly, like I have studied for real. Like there's a book called Live Music Method by Tom Jackson. And if anybody's listening and wants to get better at live performing, Live Music Method by Tom Jackson is a great book. And it talks about performing is all about creating moments. It's just like, how can you take that person who their bills are late, they baby mama tripping, so, mm-hmm. you know, some, but give them 30 minutes to where they don't even think about that. They're just escaping in a performance world that they love.
Wow.
And how can you create that for everybody in the building and moving with the music? That's big for rappers. So my vocal coach, she practiced with me one time and she was like, why are you walking back and forth? The beat didn't change. She's like, sometimes just move with the music. If the first eight bars, the 808 didn't come in yet, just stay center stage until that 808 comes. And once the 808 comes, boom, then go stage left.
That's good.
So little things like that, like learning for real, like the craft of performing, reading a book, and just wanting to just flip that switch, boy.
Yo, and for all the artists out there, that was worth the price of admission right there. you just dropped some serious gems, and man, I love it that you just didn't just like fall into this. Like you've studied it, you've researched it, and a lot of artists don't always do that. Like you got to work on your craft, and sometimes that means like reading a book, or you know, listening to a podcast, or studying some performances. It's like an athlete will watch the other team and study their plays and like learn strategies. And like artists, we should be doing the same kind of stuff so we can keep getting better. Not that we're copying what other people do, but like you said, I love what you said. You know, you quoted from that book of like, man, you want to create an experience for the people that are in the room. Or that are streaming now, you know, because we got a lot of concerts or hybrid, right? But that's super important, you know, and just even, you know, for those that are communicators out there that are listening, like I'm an artist, but I'm even more of a communicator now, preacher, pastor, speaker, motivator, all those kind of things. Same thing, that same kind of concept goes for all of us that get a microphone in our hand. You know, we want to create an experience in the room. So I know every Sunday when I'm preparing a sermon, a message, we're working on a series. Like, yes, we're coming out of a biblical text, but I want to create an experience where there's going to be sticky points that people are going to remember what's being talked about. And it's going to connect to their everyday life, whether that's a story or an object lesson or an illustration or, you know, a video clip or, you know, a testimony. You know, I interview somebody just something that's going to be out of the box that's going to really grab their attention and create that experience. Like you said, man, a lot of people are going through stuff and they just need that 30-minute window to maybe just forget about all the other stuff and just let God minister to them through that time, because he's ministering through your music. Mm-hmm. He's ministering through somebody out there that's, you know, preaching or speaking or teaching or motivating. And God can use that to literally change somebody's life, man, and give them hope, because a lot of people are hopeless, man. So that's good, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so, man, talk to us a little bit about Hustle, Pray, Eat.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the homie, man. So my homie, Mark Evans, Mark the Bad Guy, a.k.a. the greatest hype man in CHH. Yeah. So
he is.
Honestly, bro, it was like he needed to pay some bills, bro. Honestly, he needed to pay bills, and he knew a friend who printed shirts. And so he was like, hey, man, like, you know, I'll print you some shirts, man. Come up with, you know, a logo or whatever you want. And so Mark came up with Hustle, Pray, Eat, man. Three words that he feels like, you know, he really has to live by and does live by. And me as a homie, man, like I have the mindset of a boss is one who guarantees the team is going to eat. And we going to eat, man. And he's my guy. He's my brother. And like I wanted to create more income.
Recording stopped.
Him. And so, yeah, man, like I told him, bro, bring Hustle Pray on the road. So everywhere we go, man, he brings his brand, he brings his gear. And he makes money on the road as well as being paid for to be my DJ as well. And now he partnered up with Troy. So him and Troy are 50-50 partners in it. And now Troy has, you know, created the opportunity for it to be a global brand. And he's, you know, putting his – he turned it from – it's not – I think Mark's intention was just make some money and pay some bills. But then, like, traveling with me, it's turned into, like, a merch line. But then Troy now is making, like, a store. Like, they want to open up a store one day called Hustle Pray. So,
wow, that's dope.
Yeah, man.
Like a physical store.
Yep. And they do tons of pop-ups in Grand Rapids all the time. And like, dude, the brand is amazing. Like, it sells itself everywhere we go, dude. Like,
yep.
Hustle Pray, I love that. Oh, my gosh. And so,
yeah, I got a shirt. Universal. People ask me about it regularly.
Yeah, man. So, I just wanted to create an opportunity for my mans to make more money. And I believe in the brand, and I stand by it too, man. And so, Hustle Pray, man. If you ain't heard of it, get hip.
Yo, check it out, for real. All right, man, so last thing I want to ask you today is just share a little bit of wisdom, man, for other artists out there. Like, what are you doing right now? What do you encourage artists to do in this season we're currently in? I mean, we have been through a pandemic. We thought we were coming out of it as we're filming this right now. There's, like, a rise of cases, and everyone's like, oh, man, here we go again. What's going on? And, you know, certain parts of the country are already, like, starting to, like, pull back on certain things. So, you know, you as an artist that's had to navigate this whole season, you know, what would be some advice for other artists out there, or people that travel and do ministry?
Yeah, man. Well, McDonald's is always hiring.
you can always Uber when you're not on the road.
Uber or, you know, pick up groceries. But nah, man. Bruh, stay encouraged. Just remember, through this time, what people need is a positive message. And that's what we carry, bro. There's so much craziness going on. You know what I mean? Like, thank the Lord we got a new president in office. You know what I'm saying? But, like, with just the craziness and division that we're seeing, bro, being caused in the world, there has to be light. There has to be some source of encouragement. So I encourage all these artists, man, who are carrying light in their lyrics to get to work, because there's a lot of division that, you know what I'm saying, is upon us. But if we stay encouraged and we continue to carry that hope and show that hope and write that hope and deliver it to the people, then, man, there's still some light in the world. So, yeah, my words would be stay encouraged, continue to write hopeful lyrics that bring hope, because there's mad division going on.
Yeah, man. That's a good word, bro. Well, hey, man, pray for us today, man. Pray for everybody that's watching. There's artists watching. There's pastors, leaders. And you are going to be at Flavor Fest in October, the 7th through the 10th of 2021. It's going down. We're doing it. Even if you have to come and wear a mask, all that stuff, we're going to still be here. We're open. And by that time, you know, I know we're in a little wave of cases. It's going to be going down soon. And we're going to get together, man. We're going to party. We're going to celebrate. We're going to learn together. We're going to serve together. It's going to be a great weekend, man. So just pray for everybody real quick, man. Appreciate you, bro.
I got you, man. Heavenly Father, Lord, man, we thank you for your grace. Daddy, we thank you for your mercy. Two things that are undeserving each and every day, but you're just and you're sufficient. So I thank you for this time that I got to spend with my brother Tommy. Thank you for the ministry that he is doing over there in Tampa. Thank you for all the hands and feet that are being the hands and feet of Jesus over there in Tampa. Just everybody listening, I pray, Lord, that they're encouraged, that they're inspired by what was said. And I just pray that everybody just goes out and continues to be in light in the midst of all the division that's going on. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so if you're watching that on the video at the very end, like, man, my computer was out of space. I'm keeping it real, y'all. I'm keeping it real. That's never even happened before. Like, it was recording on Zoom. Suddenly it said, like, boop, your disk is full. So, you know, you saw the picture of him the last couple of minutes if you were watching it on video. But, yeah, it was great to have Stephen Malcolm. He's going to be at the fest this year. It's going to be incredible. And hey, next week we're talking to somebody that's also going to be at Flavor Fest this year. He's not only going to be hitting the stage doing some music, but he is going to be doing a workshop. and he's going to be talking about how he built his platform through YouTube and just some of the affiliate stuff that he's doing. He's going to talk about how to leverage TikTok and just how he's been working with some different artists that have been killing it. And so I'm talking about my guy, Ruslan. Yes, and many of you guys probably follow his podcast. He is killing it. I mean, he's doing like a couple a day on his YouTube channel and hitting some controversial topics. And so you don't want to miss the next episode with Ruslan. So until then, FlavorFest fam, go to FlavorFest.org, register for the conference. We hope to see you guys. And if you can't come in person, there is a virtual option. So you can still attend the main sessions of the conference and you can catch the concerts. So if you go to the website, the virtual options are available. So let's go. Thanks for tuning into the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at FlavorFest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.